1 Peter chapter 1, let's begin reading in verse number 20. Well, let's just read starting in verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. It's amazing the connection there between purified and obeying the truth. There's probably more done through and as a result of our obedience to truth than you and I probably could ever wrap our comprehension around. Obeying the truth through the Spirit, that is, the Spirit of God enables you to obey the truth. Unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Note verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Verse 1 of chapter 2. Wherefore, there's a word of connection. It's reaching to that which just had been stated and is now linking it to what is getting ready to be said. Wherefore, in light of that, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Let's pray. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name to help us, dear Lord, this morning to say what needs to be said. Lord, to speak to my mind, my heart. Help me to be in tune with your voice, your leadership. Help me to have discernment. Lord, you began to nudge and speak to my heart yesterday morning about these truths. And Lord, I pray that you will speak to my heart here even in the pulpit. And Lord, may the people have ears to hear and be receptive to the word of God. Have your way, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As I was walking yesterday morning and just praying, meditating, and asking God to feed me, to speak to me, and to give me something that'll help me, and you ought to pray the same, because God is no respecter of persons. He just as soon speak to you as he had me or anyone else. Amen. And the Bible's very clear when Jesus said there in Matthew 4 and the temptation in the wilderness, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus even made it clear that our very existence and our living in this world is not just physically attached to bread that we eat, but also to every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I'd be greatly troubled if I went an extended period of time and God not speak to me. Sat in Bible preaching services and God never speak to me. Open the pages of God's word and that God would never speak to me. I would be very concerned about that. John chapter number 10 makes it clear that one of the marks of a true sheep is that they hear the shepherd's voice. Jesus Christ is the shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd. He is the shepherd, amen? He said, my sheep, hear my voice, and they follow me. And on down in John chapter 10, he said, they hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. God's people are identified with an earmark. That is, we hear the voice of God. God speaks to us. Not with these audible physical ears do we hear that, but in our heart, God speaks to us, and it's just as real. But as the Lord began to speak to my heart about these verses yesterday morning, of course, I wasn't planning to preach them this morning. I thought I had leadership about what to preach, and of course, that has been changed again, yet again for us. And so whatever the Lord wants is fine with me. But I noticed the emphasis here in verse number 22 of chapter 1 on the relational. There's a relational emphasis here. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Notice that. Unto. Notice that word unto. Through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. That word unto means point reached. This is where God was trying to get them to in this verse, is to get us to the place where we have unfeigned, that is genuine, true love of the brethren, God's family, if you will. See, and then he goes on to say, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Everybody ready? Here is what connects us as a family, as brethren, as God's people. Verse number 22 does not end with a period. So the thought continues to the next statement. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. We are different in personalities. We are different in likes and dislikes. Amen. That's right. But the thing that links us together is that we have a common birth. If you're saved, that is, you and I alike, as well as all of God's people, past, present, and future, are connected by birth. We have the same Father. We're connected to the same bloodline. Right here is the incorruptible seed that produces that birth. Praise the Lord. And when he comes into chapter 2 and verse number 1, he's dealing with things that is really in that same relational context. He says, wherefore, laying aside is understood in each of these statements. Laying aside all malice, laying aside all guile, laying aside all hypocrisies, laying aside all envies, and laying aside all evil speaking. Now, I want to tell you, friend, there's a lot of your spirituality that is relational. That is attached to God's people. Amen. That's right. If you're saved, friend, you're going to heaven with me. Like it or not, you're going to heaven with me. And God may have my mansion right beside of you, so you might ought to get to liking me. Amen. But here's the other thing that spoke to my heart. The emphasis on the Word of God. The emphasis on the Word of God. We talked about the birth. That's the thing that connects us all together. But it's even deeper than that. There is something that causes and that God uses to bring about that supernatural birth. And I still believe that being born again, being saved, is a supernatural work of God. It's not something that you can just decide to do. It's not just the results of praying some mechanical words or giving mental assent to some Bible facts. You can do all of that and never be born again. Amen. I've already said this before many times in my ministry here, that as far as I can remember back, Brother Aaron, I don't ever remember not believing in the virgin birth. I don't ever remember not believing in the cross of Calvary and Jesus dying for my sin. I don't know that I've ever not believed that. So if you would have asked me at age 5, 6, 7 or whatever, you know, do you believe Jesus died for you? I'd have said, well, certainly. Do you believe he was buried, rose again? Certainly. And I would have given mental assent to that. But it's a deeper work than that. There must be a conception of a seed. Listen, physically, before there can ever be a birth into this world, there's got to be a conception of a seed. Before there can ever be a spiritual birth into God's kingdom, there's got to be a conception of the seed, of a seed. And that seed is in verse 1 or 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Here it is, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And of course, the next two verses, verse 24 and 25, further supports the word of God in your life. And if we could see anything clear in these verses that I've read in chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 and 3, if there's anything that we can see there that's very clear, and that is that the word of God was not just used to save you in verse 23 of chapter 1, but that the word of God also is used to satisfy and to sustain you. Chapter 2 and verse number 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So I want you to see that. I want you to notice that the same seed that was conceived in you by the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, taking the Word of God and placing that in your spirit, the same Word that births you is the same Word that will build you. The same word that saves you is the same word that will structure your Christian life. There's no such teaching nowhere found in God's word where the word of God saves a person and then leaves them alone. The word of God is not just attached to your spirit, to your salvation, but it is also attached to your spiritual life. Amen. The Word of God will never, ever in this life or the life to come be detached from your life. Amen. And so I wanted us to see the importance of the Word of God being vitally used to save us. That's why the pulpit stands out here in the middle and up front, even in front of the choir, in front of the piano and the organ and up front, and it stands out here alone. Why? This is to be the premium ministry of this church, and that is preaching the Word of God. I can make this statement without apology. Nobody has, is, or ever will be saved apart from the Word of God. Because it is the incorruptible seed that produces the new birth. Parents, that is all the more reason why that you should take the time to fill your children's ears with the Word of God. Read it to them even long before they were able to read. I've heard of parents, I've heard of mothers before they ever even become a mother. While they were expecting, they would take time and read the Word of God and sing good spiritual songs to that baby that was within them. Because I believe we can prove from the Scripture that that baby can hear. Amen. You remember when Mary told her cousin Elizabeth that she had been, what Gabriel had told her, and how that she had been conceived of the Holy Ghost, and within her was the very Son of God. And when Mary told Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John the Baptist, when she heard the salutations of Mary, that Elizabeth said that John on the inside leaped in her womb. Amen. John heard about Jesus. has a baby still inside the mother and was kicking around, amen, and leaping for joy. John probably shouted more before he was ever born than most Baptists do after they've been born and after they've been born again. I'm trying to freshen up your knowledge of the fact that God's Word is crucial in your life. If it required the Word of God to save me, which gave me life, then the same Word of God is necessary to grow my life. If it gives me life, then I think I ought to have confidence in it that it will grow my life. Here's another one. If it gives me life and it grows my life, I think you ought to know that it also will guide my life. Amen. Amen. This is God's GPS right here, praise God. You need some direction in your life? Right here's his direction. The Word of God is God's map, and He'll help you and guide you in your walk of life. One of the worst things you can do as a believer, one of the worst things you can do is to get saved and then detach yourself from hardly any income of the Word of God. God, listen, God can't use the Word unless it gets in you. Romans chapter 10, very clear on that. The Word is nigh thee even in thy mouth. That is the Word of faith which we preach. God's Word has to get in you before the salvation can happen. God's Word has got to get in you before it can guide you and grow you. Just as we see in chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. That is, the Word of God is like milk to a newborn baby. It's got to get in you before it can benefit you, before it can help you. We'd probably be shocked in this congregation. We'd probably be shocked by the viewing congregation of how little the Word of God has been looked at, looked into, read, fed on, memorized, meditated on just this past week. And then we wonder why that we fall apart. We wonder why that we can't seem to get hooked up with God. We can't seem to worship God. Listen, your problem, my problem is not circumstantial. Oh, help me to preach, Lord. Our problem is not circumstantial. Our problem is that we don't have enough of this Word of God inside of us. Amen? You agree with that? It's true whether you do or not. Amen? It's true whether I do or not. The Word of God is vitally and crucial and intently important in your life. And as we come into this passage, I begin to note verse number 2 of chapter 2 that there is a desire that is referenced here. Now, I'm not going to go into a lot of the details and a lot of depth to it, but I just want to share with you what God gave me yesterday, and it helped me so much. I mean, it strengthened me, it stirred me as I was walking yesterday, and God was feeding me with this, and I didn't even know I was preaching it this morning. I knew I'd probably be preaching it at some point and would have studied it out. But here's the thing the Lord began to speak to my heart about in verse number 2, that there is a desire here expressed. Notice verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Now, we all should identify with that. Everyone in here should identify with a screaming youngin because they're hungry. And I began to just think simple thoughts. They come into this world, they don't have to sit in a classroom, they don't have to go to some kind of teaching class to teach them, okay, now that you're in your new world, and now that you've been born, now you need to eat in order to grow. No, they come into this world screaming. Isn't that right, moms? And guess what? Moms can testify. They don't care where you're at either. They don't care if you're in the most censorious meeting. They don't care if you're in the most somber atmosphere. They don't care if you're in a funeral home, in a funeral service. If it's time to eat and their little dinner bell rings in their nature, they're going to pitch an absolute fit until they get noticed and until they get satisfied. And the thought on my heart yesterday was, I would to God that we was that hungry. Now that hunger is as a newborn babe. That hunger does not dissipate. That hunger does not go away. In fact, the truth is, they're revealed that if you have been born again, you do have a desire for God's Word. You have a desire, just like a newborn babe, without lessons, without teaching, without instruction, without anybody telling it, now you need to eat. Before it can even understand communication, it comes into this world, it has life, and on the inside, that life is desiring to grow. There's a desire, there is a nature that comes in with the birth that grows. And God's people should be recognized by growth. And let me just pause right there just a moment to say something to the lost people that might be here or listening. I've heard people over the years would say they wouldn't get saved because they couldn't live it. And that is the truth. But here's what you need to know, and you're fixing to know, is that when you get saved, which means you've been birthed, and with that birth, you have within you the new nature, a divine nature. 2 Peter chapter 1 makes it very clear that we've been given exceeding precious promises, whereby we have been made partakers of His divine nature. Oh, yes. The only thing I need to climb trees is to have a squirrel nature. The only thing I need to be able to swim and live underwater is a fish nature. The only thing I need to be able to eat slop, amen, is have a pig nature. The only thing I need to eat worms is have a bird nature. Y'all see what I'm talking about? Your diet is revealed. Your diet reveals your nature. What you desire to feed on and give attention to, amen, and give action to speaks volumes about you. There's multitudes of people that claim to be saved and they seemingly have desires for everything except holy things. They seem to have desires for everything except the Word of God. They can go days and never read it. Amen. There are people, it's hard to get a hold of, but there are people that never read their Bible, don't even associate with it, except when they come to church. If they can even find it. Honey, have you seen my Bible? It's probably on wherever you left it last Sunday. The Word of God should be a vital part of your life. And in the early years of your children, parents, listen, the early years of your children, they can't read. They can't pick up a Bible and read it. So they don't know what's in it. Well, then how are they supposed to know what's in it? That falls on you. That falls on me as a preacher. That falls on Sunday school teachers. That falls, but more importantly and above all that list, falls on the parents. The parents should be the one that says, thus saith the Lord. The Bible says, and start teaching those children when they're in diapers, amen, about what the Bible says. Amen. That's right. And then you can start praying that God would generate that seed and that those children will get saved at an early age. But there's a desire here. And it's evident. Now, I'm going to just give you this. It's evident here in verse number 2 and throughout the Bible that the newborn babe desiring milk. Listen, I'm not getting out of the Bible here, is a reference, a newborn babe desiring milk that they may grow is a reference to breastfeeding. Are y'all listening to me? That is, the baby is birthed into a world, but he continues to live off of the one that birthed it. Amen. Still living off of the one that birthed it. I'm glad, hallelujah, that the one that birthed me spiritually is able to sustain me. I can feed off of and from the one that birthed me. Listen, a newborn babe is not feeding off of the world. A newborn babe doesn't feed off of biscuits. A newborn babe feeds off of the one that birthed it. The same one that birthed it is able to feed it. Hallelujah. Amen. Our dependence shouldn't be on this world. Our dependence should be attached to the one that birthed me. I can feed on him. He has a supply. He is able to sustain me. And as I was thinking about those terms and that line of thought yesterday, walking, then my mind began to think about an Old Testament name for God called El Shaddai. Son, you ought to study the names of God in the Old Testament, the Jehovah titles and the El titles, E-L. Elohim, El Shaddai, and there's others. But the word El Shaddai is where the Lord spoke to my heart about the connection here, about the breastfeeding of the one that did the birthing and the one that was birthed. El Shaddai, the word Shad in that title means breast. El Shaddai, many times in our Bibles, is translated as the Almighty God. The same one that birthed me is the Almighty, not mighty, not just mighty. I know we live as if he's not mighty. We act a lot of times as if he's not mighty. But I want to tell you, he's not mighty. He's almighty. And if he's almighty, there's never going to be a time in your life that a need will arise that he is not. Amen. Don't misunderstand me now. Amen. Keep your mind spiritual here. But in light of El Shaddai, the multi-breasted God, the many-breasted God is what that word El Shaddai means. Oh, Lord, help us. That means that the child, amen, of the El Shaddai, a God of the Bible, may be in a world that is filled with trouble and problems. But I want to tell you, that child has access to what is inside of the Almighty. Boy, you think about that. You think about it. Now, I don't have time to get in all of it, and you know more about it than I do. But I know that when a child, a newborn baby, feeds from its mama, that one of the first thing that it gets, if I could pronounce it right, probably can't, is it colostrum? Is that right? And that does wonders to that baby, building its immune system, building its immunity system to be able to fight off germs and fight off infections that are in this world. Oh, amen. El Shaddai, the many-breasted God. That is, if we feed on him that birthed us, amen, hallelujah, it'll put within us that spiritual immunity, that spiritual strength, that spiritual resistance to the corruption that is in this world. Amen, hallelujah. You say, well, there's a lot of God's people. There's many God's people. There's millions of God's people. Yeah, but God is a many-breasted God. Amen. There's room for me. There's room for me with God. And I can tell you, listen, and I'm not going to get too graphic right here. But what that enables that baby to do is to attach itself and draw out what is inside of the one that birthed it. Amen. The Word of God is my attachment to God. Listen, a nursing baby must be intimate, must be close in order to do that. You know why a lot of God's people seemingly are starving to death? It's not because of a lack of supply in El Shaddai, a lack of supply, lack of milk, lack of word. It's because of distance. Amen. Have you been close to God this week? Amen. Have you drew out of Him who birthed you into this world? Have you fed on Him? Oh, yes. I'm telling you, friend, I don't understand it. I don't know all how to deal with it. But we are being plagued in our world, in our churches. We are being plagued with people that claim to have been birthed by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And they've detached themselves from the Bible. They don't hardly ever have to have any preaching. They don't hardly ever read it. They don't ever feed on it. And they hardly ever meditate on it. They very seldom ever memorize a word of God. When's the last time you memorized a verse of Scripture? I'm not asking for an audible response to that. I paused there so it'd sink in. When's the last time you took time to hide the Word in your heart? Sin will keep you from that book, and that book will keep you from sin. Amen. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Thy word, David said to God, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. I'll tell you, God's people have a desire to be holy, have a desire to be pleasing to God, have a desire to grow and to fulfill your purpose in life. You have a desire, but you can't grow apart from that book. Amen. The milk of the Word of God. Amen. That's good. I thought it was good. The El Shaddai. A birth baby is birthed into the world but continues to feed off of the one that birthed it. I already said that. Amen. Doesn't feed off of the world. Let me tell you, let me give a piece of advice to us, to anybody that's listening. One of the worst things you can do is get your children hooked on feeding off of this world. Because I'm going to tell you, just in the physical realm, you take baby food, when they are eating that nasty baby food, I'm telling you, that's torturous. But they don't know no better. They think that's all there is to it. But when they get up a little older and you start introducing them to sugar, come on now, you start introducing them to cupcakes and candy, I'll tell you right now, they'll develop an appetite for that, and you know good and well, it is not good for them. I said that to say this, a child has a tendency to like what is not good for it. You give it the Word of God, which it needs, that child may not like it. That child may not like it, but we all know it's good for you. Amen. And so, let me give you a few other things and we'll be done. And I think it's very clear that the Word of God is at work in the pre-birth, chapter 1, verse 23, the conception of the seed and so forth. But it's also important in the post-birth work in verse number 2 of chapter 2. It's not just good enough to get you into God's family, but it's big enough to feed you and grow you. And let me say this, let me say this very clearly. According to verse 1 of chapter 2, your growing is not all God's doings. Look at it again. I don't have time to go into these words, but just look at the responsibility laid here, who it's laid on. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, that is, you do it. Wherefore, laying aside all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, that is, a lot of my growing has to do with me being disciplined enough to know I should not do that or I should not say that. Amen. God help us. God help us. God is extremely interested in the Word of God working and feeding you in your life. Life comes into this world with a birth, but with that birth comes an intense desire to grow. How? By feeding on the Word of God. Amen. When that child is within the womb of the mother, it's attached to the mother. I think my wife said it one time, or somebody did, they called it the biblical cord. And you know, you think about it, that's not the right pronunciation, but boy, isn't that a great application. Amen. We're attached to the biblical cord. We're attached to God through a biblical connection. And through that comes our air, our oxygen, our blood supply, our nutrients, our immunity system, our feeding. Every bit of that comes through that umbilical cord. I said biblical cord enough, now I'm about to call it that still yet. And so after the birth, that cord is cut. And now it goes from pre-birth work of God's Word to now a post-birth of God's Word, the working of God's Word. And that's where the many-breasted God comes in. That is, I am to feed. Amen. Boy, I'm glad of that, aren't you? Listen, I believe God wanted to encourage us a little bit this morning to let us know that if I'm starving, that if I'm immature, if I'm not growing, if I'm living way below my birthright, it is my fault. God's not run out. Amen. Millions and millions and millions of God's people live on planet Earth today. And I want to tell you, if every one of us goes to God at the very same time and we're needing to feed, and here's how you go. You say, preacher, how do I go to God? How do I latch on, so to speak, and draw out from God what I need to sustain me, to satisfy my hunger, amen, to support me and to grow me? What is it? Right here it is. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. What's in God comes out of God into you as you attach yourself to this right here. Boy, the devil will downplay that, won't he? Before the devil ever got Eve to fall in the garden, guess what he did? He got her to question the Bible. He got to question her to the point where she was adding to it and taking away from it. Listen, the Bible is your sustenance. The Bible is your support. It is your strength. It's what will stabilize us. God only knows what we're going to face in the days to come, the weeks, months, years to come. We have no idea. But I know this, the Word of God will sustain me. And I want you to listen to this. Listen, I read it a moment ago, verse 24 of chapter 1. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as a flower of grass. The grass withered, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. God's word says that the flower's going to fade and grass is going to wither, but the word of God is going to abide. The Word of God is going to remain. Amen. You say, I don't know. Listen, there's such an attack on the Bible in our day. I remember Dr. Seitler making this statement back when I was in Bible college. Dr. Seitler made this statement. He said, back in the Dark Ages, the attack on God's Word was to confiscate it. Just like they're trying to do guns and so forth now. They're wanting to take all of our guns. They're wanting to take the Bible. Back then, that was the attempt. That was the launch. We're going to make sure nobody has a Bible. But there was too many Bibles. There was too many printing sources. And that's one of the reasons I definitely am a King James Bible believer, Bible toter, Bible preacher, is because it has no copyrights on it. Nobody's trying to make money off of it. You could set up a printing shop in your basement, don't have to ask nobody nothing to print copies of the King James Bible. Say amen right there. All that other outfit, all that other stuff is a bunch of garbage and it's nothing but a money-making racket. You can't even write a book. You can't even write a book if you were to use their material. You can't even quote the NIV, which stands for the non-inspired version. The new inaccurate version. It ain't no more the Word of God than an encyclopedia is. Amen. That's exactly right. You can't even reference that in a book that you might want to write without having to pay royalties, having to get permission. It's a copyright money racket. Anyway, I better get off that. But he said back in the Dark Ages, there was the effort to take away Bibles from God's people. And they've always believed that. That if I can get I can put distance between you and your Bible, I've got you. I can teach you, I can persuade you, I can instruct you, I can lead you in any way that I want if you don't have a Bible. But it failed, Brother Mark. There's too many Bibles. There's too many sources to be able to print it. There's too many people that had it in memory. And they'll never try that again, more than likely, because they don't have to. The attack now is to not confiscate our Bible. The attack now is to corrupt our Bible. Amen. And I trust that you have a King James Bible laying in your lap. If you have anything else, I just thought I'd tell you that it has come from the roots of Westcott and Hort text, which is beyond corrupt. There's no evidence on planet Earth that Westcott or Hort, either one, were even Christians. That they were even saved. You think God's going to use an unsaved person to translate a holy word of God? Ain't no way. Ain't no way. Anyway, I better get off that. And you know what? Our Bible's not for sale. I know churches everywhere is throwing it away, and they're bringing in the new King James, and they're bringing in all these other perversions. They're bringing all this other junk in. I want to tell you, we're holding true. We may not be the biggest church in town, and that's not our goal. But our goal is to remain true so that when our captain, our commander-in-chief, splits the eastern sky, he'll be able to look down at a little handful of people beside 11W and be able to say, well done. Well done, you stood for my word. You stood on my word. You read it. You fed on it. You followed it. You put it into practice. Amen. If we was interested in growing a big kingdom here beside the road, one of the first things we'd have to do is throw away our gospel singing, throw away the red back hymnal and the black back book, and bring in all this contemporary toe-stomping, foot-stomping, amen music, and bring in all of the other non-inspired versions of the Word of God, and we could grow it. We could have a large church. We could build it. We'd have to build buildings and build more buildings and more buildings. But I'd have to sell out my conscience to do it. I'd have to sell out my convictions to do it. I'd have to turn my back on my commander and the one that called me. Amen. I'd have to do all of that to do that, and I'm not doing it. Amen. I know it's a cliche, and I think there's a thing up here somewhere that talks about me not being for sale. Our Bible's not for sale. Our music's not for sale. Our church is not for sale. Our young people's not for sale. Are you listening? We're going to stay by the stuff best we can. Amen. Amen. But I'm glad, and it helped me. It helped me yesterday, and it's helping me now. To know that I may be birthed into a world that's full of corruption and wickedness and all kinds of challenges. But thank God, I'm glad that I have an outlet with God. I have a connection with God. Amen. Amen. I've got a connection with God that I, forgive me for using it, but it's biblical in light of the illustration. I can suck out of God what I need for my soul. Amen. Amen. Some of you are struggling. Maybe it's because where your mouth is. Maybe what you're feeding on. Maybe it's what you're feeding on. Amen. You're filling your mouth full of this world thinking it's going to satisfy me. You know what God gave me a long time ago? You can never grow off of a pacifier diet. A baby can do all of the motions, all the sucking motions, it can do all of that with a pacifier that it can do with the real deal. But it'll never grow off of a pacifier diet. That's why I'm not interested in giving you pacifiers. If you need pacifiers, you got the wrong preacher. Amen. I used to, and it gave me ulcers. I've done away with all my pacifiers. I'm going to preach to you the Word of God and let you know there's an El Shaddai God that is a multi-breasted God. And on the inside of Him, thank God, is everything you need to walk through your valley, everything you need to climb the mountains of life and fight the battles of life and carry the burdens of life is found in Him. I'm glad I've got a desire for the sincere milk of the Word. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad that I have went to El Shaddai enough to know that there's room for me. There's room for me. I don't have to wait my turn for God to look at me and say, okay, son, you, next. No. Anytime, Brother Rob, day or night, anytime that I go to my El Shaddai God, I can find there a place for me to draw out of Him into me what I need to strengthen me, support me, satisfy me. Amen. Isn't that good? That was just a few thoughts the Lord gave me yesterday. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We ask, Lord, that You'd speak to us and help us, Lord, to realize the value and the importance of the Word of God. Lord, not just in our salvation, that which produces the birth, that seed that was conceived in us by the Spirit of God that was generated and Lord, brought forth life. And produced a new birth. And Lord, I ask You in Jesus' name that You'll help us as Your people. Help us as Your children, dear Lord, to realize the importance and the value and the necessity of Your Word. Lord, and I praise You for being my almighty God. Thank You, Lord, for being my all-sufficient God. Thank You, Lord, that in a world where I'm out of place, in a world that I don't fit in, a world of darkness and I a child of light, I want to thank you that I can come to you and can find my sustenance. I can come to you and your word, and I can find what I need to take care of my desires, to satisfy the inner longings of my heart. I thank you that I can find that in you. Lord, I pray your will be done. Take these thoughts, simple truths, and Lord, use it, God, for your glory. Have your way, Lord.